Welcome to the Father's State. I'm Jesse Lee Peterson. Thank you all for being with me. Don't forget, you can support the Father's State by going to thefatherstate.tv/donate and also on locals.com, all right? Click the link in the description. You'll see locals.com there. And thank you in advance. I do appreciate it. I have with me Rhonda Dixon, and she is an attorney and founder of the Dixon Justice Center and currently running for L.A. County Superior Court. Rhonda, thank you for coming.
Thank you.
I totally appreciate it. Just to get to know you better, are you a Christian?
No.
You're not a Christian?
I'm a Buddhist.
You're a Buddhist?
Yes.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. And just for the record, you are black.
I am, yes.
She's black.
Both of my parents. Both of my parents are black.
And what made you were you ever a Christian?
I was at one point.
And what made you decide to go Buddhist?
I read the Bible cover to cover, and I found some anomalies in what it said and what people said it said, but it didn't say.
Oh.
So I had to read it again, and then I decided that I didn't agree with it.
Amazing. Oh, in the Bible?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, some things in the Bible you did not agree with.
No.
And so you decided to become a Buddhist at that reason. Can you think of one example of something you didn't agree with in the Bible? If you can.
Yes. In the book of Numbers, Deuteronomy, and Joshua, it talks about that Yahweh is a jealous, bloodthirsty, and angry God, and that, you know, thou shalt have no gods before me. So then that point, he tells them that they can go into cities and kill people and just take over if they're not believers. And I just don't support that. There's never been a war fought in the name of Buddhism, and I just don't support that type of behavior.
Oh, I got you. And one thing about Buddhists you like that attracted you, Buddhists?
The concept that we're all kind of emanations of God in our own right, and that we have to strive to reach our highest human potential. And I was already doing that, and that's what I think everyone should be doing. And no fighting, you know, everything is peaceful conflict, and the Buddha is peaceful.
Right.
And that's what I like, so that's what I gravitated towards.
And so so you do the Buddhist meditation thing?
I do. I chant Nam-myoho Renge Kyo.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
Tina Turner used to do that.
Yes, she did.
When she would get beat up by her husband.
Yeah. Finally, she got away from that using her Nam-myoho Renge Kyo, and she created her peaceful state.
Right on. And so what does that do for you, Nam-myoho chant?
Nam-myoho Renge Kyo.
Yeah.
What it does is creates peacefulness and harmony in your environment. It focuses you, and it actually makes you look younger. Because I'm 62, and they say when you start chanting, you lose 10 years off of your face right away.
Plus, black don't crack, so that helps too.
That's true.
Amazing. So you have perfect peace now?
It's not always perfect. It's always a state of flux, but mostly peace, yes.
Do you believe it's possible to have perfect peace?
I don't know about that because everything is always changing. You know, one of the Buddhist concepts is that change is a part of the process. So you have to always be aware of the change, you know, and adapting to it. So I don't necessarily think so. I think you always have to adjust.
Oh, I see. Is it possible under Buddhist religion, when you said you're reaching your highest...
Human potential, yes.
Potential. Human potential.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your highest human potential?
To become Buddha and basically to become in that peaceful state where you can transform your own environment to make it the Buddha, we call it the Buddha's pure land. So when you come into that environment, it creates this peacefulness.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. So is Buddha that little fat guy that I be seeing in the Japanese restaurants and everywhere?
No.
That's not him?
No, that's Amitabha Buddha. So there's different sects of Buddhism. The actual Buddha was known for being really skinny because he actually starved himself for 40 days and 40 nights.
Nice.
He was very thin.
Yeah.
He was actually also dark complected. When you see pictures of him, he'll be dark complected with braids, and the people next to him will be like a medium brown.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so the original Buddha was definitely black.
So there are more than one Buddhist?
You know, it's like everybody wants to create God in their own likeness.
Yes.
And so as Buddha changes and moves from India to China, he becomes Chinese looking, and when he goes to Japan, he becomes Japanese looking. So people always recreate God, just like Jesus Christ. The original Jesus Christ had to be black. His description is that he was black. But yet, when he goes to Europe, then Jesus Christ becomes white.
Oh, so Jesus was black originally?
It says so in the Bible. There's a description of him.
Did he have good hair or nappy hair?
I think it was kind of curly. They said he was bronze with woolly hair.
Well, then he must have been white then if he had good hair. What the?
Not necessarily. Remember when I told you I went to Egypt, there's people in Egypt that have good hair,
right,
or curly hair, that are not mixed. They're just like in Aswan, when you go farther down into, it's about 4 hours south of Cairo.
Oh, okay. Nice. Mm-hmm. Have you ever been to Israel?
I have not.
Rhonda, before you die, if you want to get into heaven, you got to go to Israel.
Well, I'll go to Israel, but I believe that heaven is on earth. Heaven is a state of mind.
Right.
A state of being.
Go to Israel in that state of mind. It's beautiful.
Okay, I will.
It's
when they're not fighting and having a war.
Yeah, once that's over,
mm-hmm,
that's over. It'll be amazing.
Yeah.
They even have some of the original, real original black Jews,
mm-hmm,
in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't look like us.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't even like us.
Yeah.
and they black. I'm like, what the? But yeah, you got to go to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have anger?
Do I have anger? Sometimes I do.
You do have anger.
Mm-hmm.
And will you ever overcome anger completely?
Well, remember in they talk about righteous anger.
In the Bible.
Yes.
But you ain't into the Bible no more.
No, but even the Buddha, anger is also a state of mind or a state of being. And
yeah,
you can always use any of your state of minds to create the world of Buddha. I mean, there's this concept of the 10 worlds. And so within every one of those worlds, one of which is anger, there's a world of Buddha. So you can change, we call it changing lemons into lemonade, you know, making something positive out of something negative. So you can use the world of anger to be positive.
But anger is evil. There's no love in anger at all. It destroys and not builds.
We would even consider anger to be arrogance, you know, certain.
Because arrogance is evil too.
It's a form of anger, yes.
Right? It's ego.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you got to let that anger go if you want to reach your highest potential.
Yes, true.
Do you want to overcome that? You believe that you can overcome anger?
Yes.
Oh, you do?
Mm-hmm.
And so do you know how to overcome it?
By chanting.
Who?
By chanting Nam-myoho-renge-kyo.
No, they ain't going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you how before we leave the show today.
Okay, tell me.
But we'll get to it. What's important to you?
What's important to me? You know, I really like to help people. And I want to leave the world better than I found it. I want to really help to resolve conflicts. And that's one of the reasons why I decided to run for judge. I mean, one of the reasons we become lawyers is because we're supposed to be helping people peacefully resolve conflicts.
Yeah.
Prior to lawyers, they just took 10 paces, turned around, and shoot people. That's how they decided to resolve conflicts back in the day, and also to start wars. You know, wars are just a disagreement that becomes violent.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of, you wanted to help people, I read where you've been doing a lot of, over the years, you've been doing a lot of work in the black community. You started what's the name of the organization you started?
It was called Dixon Recovery Institute.
Yeah, Dixon Recovery Institute.
Yes.
And you were working with drug addicts and alcoholics and things like that.
Yes.
What were you doing exactly?
Counseling them, helping them to put their lives back together. Referring them to housing, referring them to jobs, but once they get clean from the drugs. And it's a huge, huge problem in our community.
Yeah.
And
why is it so major, such a major deal in the black community?
I believe that there were some incidents where drugs were brought into our community to undermine, you know, people. I mean, you do remember the story of Freeway Ricky Ross and
yeah, I remember all that,
Killer Messenger and all that stuff.
Yeah.
That really did happen. You know, they did bring drugs into the community. And historically, they say if you don't pay attention to history, it repeats itself.
Right, I heard that.
So remember in history there was something called the Chinese Exclusionary Rule, and what they did was they brought opium from India, that's the British, they brought opium from their British colony in India to put it over into their Chinese colony, or actually to colonize China. And they used the opium to do that. And I believe they did the same thing in our communities.
And so what was wrong with the blacks? Let's say that that's true, that the white man brought the drug in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's pretend it's true, because we know it's not, but let's pretend.
I don't know that.
What was wrong with the blacks that they took the drug? Because the white man didn't make them take it, right?
No, they made it available. So they took away a lot of opportunity.
So what was wrong with the blacks that they took it?
I think the lack of opportunity, the lack of advancement, the lack of good jobs and things like that. It was just a lot of despair in our community.
But it was just mostly blacks in the black community. What was wrong with them that they didn't create opportunity? Just like the white man could do it, the Mexican does it, the Chinese, everyone does it, but the blacks. What's wrong with the blacks that they can't create their own opportunity?
I think that historically, blacks have created their own opportunities, and it's been like basically like whack-a-mole. Every time they create something, it gets dismantled by different systems that are, like for instance, redlining. Redlining has made it hard for black people to get homes and get loans. There are certain things that have been done to create this socioeconomic disparity.
But if the blacks were to pay their bills, you and I know that blacks don't pay back.
Well,
you know what I mean?
When I took a course
if
at
the
Harvard.
Blacks pay their bills, what they need redlining, would the bank have to say, you know what, we're not going to let this group of people have money because they don't pay back. We don't even
do you
like
know
to
when redlining
loan
started?
To black people, right?
Do you know when redlining started?
Yeah.
When?
When they realized that the black weren't going to pay back.
You know, I have a PhD in MSU. It's called Making Stuff Up. No, it was basically the federal government started it in the 1920s. And that's the reason why they said that Woodrow Wilson was a racist, because one of the policies he started was the redlining policy. It stopped a lot of black men that had served in the military from being able to get homes that were given freely to white servicemen. They created that's when they created the suburbs. So there was different housing tracts that they created where they literally gave not just the VA loan, they just gave those homes outright to people as a thank you to their service. And black servicemen sued. That's another, you know, this is documented. They sued and lost, but they found out through that process that they had this thing called redlining and that they weren't allowed to participate in those programs.
But let's say that that's true, and I don't know if it is or not, but what's wrong with the blacks? They can't recover. You know, like years have gone by, right? And they're still complaining about the past. Like, other people tend to recover. The mm-hmm. Jews recovered, the whites recovered from white-on-white slavery, mm-hmm. the Japanese. Everybody seemed to recover but the blacks. What's wrong with the blacks? They can't recover.
I can talk about basically the penal system. You know, slavery was never abolished in California. In the United States.
It was never in California anyway. They were never
actually, it was,
slavery
but
in California.
I'm not going to go into that too much, but I will say that based on mass incarceration, the 14th Amendment said that slavery was abolished except for penal servitude, which means it was never actually abolished, because to the extent that they can put 80% of the prisoners in the state of California happen to be black, and we don't represent that much of the population. On a good day, it's 7%, and that's only in urban population areas. There's some kind of severe disparity there.
If the blacks did not commit the crime, would they have gone to jail?
You know, I was just reading an article of today, and they did a study in Pasadena of the disparity between how many people they arrest that are black as opposed to other ethnic groups. So it does have to do with this concentration on a certain group.
But if they had not committed the crime, would they still go to jail?
I'm not sure that they're even committing crimes. I mean, sometimes
they go to jail for no reason at all?
Some people are, unfortunately.
What?
Yeah. Some of my clients I know aren't guilty. Some of them are.
None of them are.
No, not none of them.
I deal with jail stuff, and nobody in the jail guilty. They all tell me right away, I'm not guilty. I didn't do it. I'm like, yes, you did. You're lying.
Some of my clients, they'll say they did it, but maybe they don't deserve to go to jail for 20 years and nobody got hurt, killed, or anything like that.
But how can a criminal decide how long they're going to be in jail?
They don't. I'm just saying that the judge actually decides.
Right.
And sometimes the decision, right now we have 20,000 people that are waiting for resentencing because we decided as a state that some of these laws were too draconian, that the sentences were too high.
I grew up in Alabama, mm-hmm. under Jim Crow law and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And prior to the Jim Crow law, there was a Jim Crow law, but there was no NAACP. I mean, not mm-hmm. NAACP, but what's that thing Martin Luther King did? Civil rights movement.
Yes.
There was no civil rights movement, none of that, right? And the blacks were free.
Yes.
They had families, they worked hard, they owned land. They educated themselves, they had trades, mm-hmm. and they treated white people the way they would like to be treated, and mm-hmm. the white people treated them the way they would like to be treated. And they had no leadership or anything. God was over the family, the father over the wife and children, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was amazing. And the blacks were doing very well. Then the civil rights movement came along, and they said to the black, oh, the white man don't like y'all. Y'all is slaves. And y'all need leaders. Y'all need to stop thinking for yourself and let us be your leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And so the blacks decided that, okay, I'm going to stop letting God lead me. I'm going to stop letting the family lead me. I'm going to let y'all lead us. And Martin Luther King and all the people sold the blacks over to the Democratic Party so that they could be the leaders. And they sold the blacks to the Democrats for a welfare check. And so they could be leaders. And they put the civil rights movement put the father, the black father, on the back burner, and they made the woman God by telling her, you can have a welfare check, have a bunch of babies. The more babies, the more welfare. You don't need the man. And the blacks have been downhill ever since. Was it a mistake for the blacks to listen to the so-called civil rights movement, the leaders, but kept their independence and just live their lives? Was it a mistake to do that? It seemed like the civil rights movement was the worst thing that ever happened to the blacks other than abortion. Was it a mistake for the blacks to put the so-called civil rights leaders over them?
Well, I guess you're saying basically it's like kicking a beehive because they kicked the beehive and then the bees came out.
Meaning that the so-called black leader came out?
No, the white racism came out once they got kicked.
But the blacks were doing so much better prior to that.
Well, actually
and
not.
And I'm a witness to it.
I was born in 1961, so I was a witness to a lot of this, too. But I think that in urban areas, you mentioned being in more rural areas, but in urban areas, black people were not treated so fairly. There was a woman named Dr. Frances Cress Welsing that made the, she had a book called The Keys to the Colors, and she talked about the fact that a lot of black people were severely depressed, and that might be why they were also self-medicating with drugs, but they were severely depressed because it wasn't a meritocracy. Once they realized that no matter how hard they worked, they were not going to get the job, they were not going to get the promotion, they were not going to get the raise because of discrimination.
I wouldn't trust her then. She's not being honest.
No,
because
she said
even in Montgomery, Alabama, I have family there, grew mm-hmm. up there, and I used to go there a lot. Black people working, there were black businesses. Matter of fact, there were black-owned bus companies.
Mm-hmm.
And the black preferred to take the white man bus over the black man bus, because, you know, we don't like one another, right?
No.
We think the white man do it.
I think.
And so the blacks refused, but when they had the bus boycott,
mm-hmm.
the blacks still didn't take the black man bus, so the black company went out of business too because the black people were not supported, but the blacks were working, they were doing all kinds of work. So little friends of mine, a recent person, not telling you the truth.
Oh.
Because I was there.
Her name was Dr. Frances Cress Welsing. She just made an observation that a lot of people in urban areas, this wasn't rural areas, this was urban areas, this was in Detroit.
But I'm talking about urban areas.
This was in Detroit.
Yeah.
And in Detroit, a lot of people were profoundly depressed when they realized they were not going to get the raise, the promotion, whatever, because they were black. And that has been a systematic type of racism and socioeconomic
depression. But see, that's not true
depression.
Either. because I know family members and others who moved to Detroit, and they because they have been taught growing up to work for themselves, not to be angry at their fellow man, which is hatred, not to judge people, but live your life and love what's right. They bought homes. They went from Alabama to Detroit and Chicago, and they bought homes. They had big families. The mother stayed home and raised the children. The father took care. In my family, there was like nine. And my mother never worked until everybody was grown and gone. And her husband, stepfather, my stepfather died. But they did well because they were trained that way. They were raised that way. They didn't go up there to Detroit. The only reason they left Detroit is when the blacks took over and Detroit became a hellhole. And they were robbed and stealing. The blacks were breaking into their homes and robbing them. So a lot of them moved back to the South. So she's not being honest about that either.
I think it coincides with the downfall of the General Motors and all of the automotive industries. A lot of the industries that brought blacks there from the South in the first place. You know, there's a book called The Warmth of Other Suns, where she talks about the migration, the great migration of many black people from the southern states to the northern states, to take advantage of factory jobs and things like that. That happened in Indiana, in Detroit, Chicago, Buffalo, New York. It happened a lot. And my family actually migrated from Sparta, Illinois, which is outside of Chicago, to, on my father's side, then they'd go to Wyoming. Yeah. I don't know why, Rock Springs, Wyoming. There was only two black families. And that was the entire population of Rock Springs, Wyoming. But it was because my great-grandfather, well, actually, he was my grandfather. He was a coal miner in Kentucky. And he moves to Wyoming because they were strip mining coal there. So he was just following that job. And then after that, he comes to, like a lot of other black families, they came to Los Angeles because there were a lot of jobs during World War II.
Yeah. I worked for Endless Steel for 2 weeks to make a paycheck. I left Alabama, went to Endless Steel, Indiana, got a job at Endless Steel, made a paycheck, and moved here. So I understand that. You have decided to, you're going to run for L.A. County courts. First, you're a lawyer first,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
Did you become a lawyer based on affirmative action, or did you earn your way?
I earned my way.
And how would we know that, since we know that blacks get in because of affirmative action, reparation, and all that, and then they lower the standard to let the blacks in?
That's not true.
How will we know that you earned it rather than getting it with the lower standard thing?
Because I never checked the box, number one.
No.
Right. And I actually wrote a thesis on that in order, saying that I didn't want to check the box because I wanted it to be a meritocracy. But whether you check the box or not, I don't know that the box helps. I think we have to work twice as hard to get half as far.
And what's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with it. I've always applied that. But
right
the issue is that there's people that don't deserve to be where they are because they don't work that hard. And they obviously
And why is it that the blacks don't work that hard, and as a result, they don't deserve to be there?
I'm not talking about blacks.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about people that aren't black that may not work as hard to get the same opportunities that we might be denied or that we have to work twice as hard for.
Yeah, they're pretty lazy.
I'm not calling people lazy.
Especially the other one.
I'm not calling people lazy. Now, that's on you.
But I agree with you. Like, they all let a lot of Mexicans in, too. Especially with the illegal one.
They pretty much replaced us in jobs for the most part. They'll say that they are meeting their minority quota.
Right.
Yes.
What do you think about the fact that black people vote for black people, right? And then the black people that they're voting for are in support of the illegal aliens coming in and ended up in the inner cities, taking the jobs from the blacks and bringing in gang members or black gangs or Mexican gangs or fighting one another. What do you say for those blacks who support illegal aliens coming into the country?
Well, you know, as a judge, I have to be nonpartisan, so I can't give opinions on things all
That's
the time.
That's right. We got to get you voted in first.
Yeah, so I can't give my opinion on
things. Okay, I understand that. She doesn't have an opinion about that. She like everybody.
I do. I'm a Buddhist. I'm one with everyone.
That's right. Where am I wrong in this? Women were created to follow and not to lead. Ooh. Why and how would I vote for a woman into a leadership role knowing that it's not in her nature to lead? Why would I vote for that knowing that it's not going to work out because it's not in her nature?
I totally disagree with that because, first of all, the whole biblical story about the rib, a lot of people know this, that Adam had a first wife named Lilith, and she's the goddess of wisdom. And she left him because he didn't want to let her lead. So that's when Yahweh created the second wife, which was Eve, which was supposedly made from a rib out of Adam. I mean, it's not even possible, but this was just a parable to support the patriarchy. In point of fact, in all ancient religions and ancient times, they had women that were the wise advisors to men. Case in point, Morgaine with King Arthur, Medusa was a woman, and she was a wise oracle. The Fates were women, and they were all oracles. So, no, I disagree emphatically. And even in the Egyptian times, many of the women were pharaohs. They were actually the rulers. And if they weren't, then they were the queen regent that advised the little boy king, like King Tut. Hathor was the one advising him. He was not the king. He couldn't do it by himself. He ascended to the throne when he was like 13. He died when he was 19.
Where did you get this idea that Adam had a wife before Eve?
If you ask a Jewish person, it's in the Kabbalah. But and they know about Lilith. Lilith was the goddess of wisdom. But it's not something I made up. There's a book by Merlin Stone called When God Was a Woman. And God was a woman in every single religion on the planet up until 3,000 years ago.
And if God made a woman before Adam, before Eve, why didn't we hear about that before they started pushing this woman movement and trying to pretend that the woman is created to lead and equal to a man? Why did we hear about that before all this mess started?
Because it was propaganda by the patriarchy.
By the women?
No, by the patriarchy. In order to support this whole male-dominated society, there needs to be balance. That's what I stand for, balance, even balance on the bench. We need to have more people represented, more diversity represented. We need to have the people that are judges look like the people that are on the other side of the bench.
But in reality, and I understand they're trying to make the woman appear that she's equal to the man and that she can lead and all that. And we know it's not true, but...
No, of course it is true. I'm doing it every day. What are you talking about?
Let's pretend. Now that they allow women to get... Because if men didn't allow it, it wouldn't happen. But they allow women to get into these leadership roles.
Okay.
Have you noticed how screwed up things are? We now have transgender. We now have cutting
off
body parts.
You're blaming that on women? That's men that want to be women.
Right, but
that has nothing to do with women. That has to do with them.
Men would not never approve of that. And the women,
that has to do with them envying what we have and wanting, and biologically not having that, and then wanting to, or even just they say they were born that way.
But there are women putting on men body. They cutting off their. And putting on men body part too, what's wrong with them?
I think that everyone, they have, so what we are biologically can change through time. I mean, our hormonal balance changes, you know.
But you're still going to be a male or a female. You may take off the body part, but inwardly you're still a male or female.
Well,
that doesn't change.
Maybe it's the other way around. Inwardly, you might want to be this person that outwardly you're not showing, so they want to make that match by taking off body parts or adding body parts.
That doesn't make sense, though.
Well, in the Indian tradition, I mean indigenous people, they actually had different designations. They had, I actually, when I worked in West Hollywood, I met a person who was an attorney who said they were a twin soul, that they were born with both both spirits in their body, a male and a female.
I believe that's probably because that's what Eva does. Eva spirits make a home in human beings.
Evil?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Evil.
But I know hermaphrodites, too.
Yes.
I know that there are men and women who were born abnormal with both.
I don't know if that's abnormal.
It's a defect.
They say that at least, at one point I read that there was at least two people in 100 that were born as a hermaphrodite.
But it was also a defect, though. But I want to go back to the Adam and Eve thing.
That's a judgment, though. That means if you believe in God, so why would God make something imperfect?
God didn't do that. Most of the time, when that, maybe 100% of the time when that happens, it's because the woman is angry during pregnancy.
Oh, my goodness.
And she's either mad at the husband, or the daddy, or the baby, or she haven't forgiven her mother or father.
Now, what do
so
you have to support
angry.
This theory?
I'm sorry?
I mean, this is just something you came up with?
No.
I've never heard this before.
Yeah. Because women don't understand that anger is evil, and when they're pregnant, their spirit is evil.
Well, maybe men shouldn't make them angry when they're pregnant.
What do you mean?
Why would they be angry?
Because they become like their mothers. They hate their mothers, and they're yearning for their fathers.
No.
Yeah.
I think that's that Sigmund
All
Freud syndrome.
All human beings hate their mothers. That's
I don't
why
think
they
did until Sigmund Freud started that.
Who?
Sigmund Freud, blaming Who? Everything on the mother.
Sigmund Freud?
Yes.
Where's Sigmund Freud now?
He's dead.
I rest
goodness.
My case.
Well, everybody, no one's living forever. Are you going to be the one that's immortal first?
I'm never dying.
Okay.
I may leave my body, but I'm not dying.
Then you're a Buddhist.
No, I'm not.
That's what Buddhists believe.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Buddha believe in anger, too.
No, Buddhists believe that when you die, you will be transformed, and you will either go into another body or into another existence based on what, you know, on your state of enlightenment when
but
you die.
But God says that you can overcome anger, which is evil. Apparently, Buddhists do not believe that.
Yes, we do.
But then why don't you overcome your anger?
It's always a state of flux. I can't, I'm being honest with you to say that I haven't 100% I can't say that. I do believe that I've controlled my anger, but
no,
I can transform
but
it.
But you can't control it, you have to overcome it. It's a spirit and it's evil.
It's a transformation.
Want me to tell you how to overcome it? Since we're there again, you got to forgive your mother.
I forgive my
Your
mother.
Mother imposed her will on you, and she lived through you, and she hated your father. And she recreated you her image by making you angry, passing that spirit on to you, and that's why you're just like her. You're not yourself. But
I
if you forgive her,
I am not angry. You're trying to make me angry, but I'm not angry.
No, I'm not. You can't make a person angry if they don't have it in them, right? But if you forgive your mother, God will forgive you, and He'll take the spirit of the anger of your mother away from you and give you back yourself.
I've always had myself. You always have your true self.
But why haven't you forgiven her?
Who says I haven't? That's something you said.
Have you forgiven your mother?
Yes.
And you told her that?
Yes.
You told your mother, I'm sorry for resenting you?
Yes.
Oh, good.
I love my mother.
And have you forgiven your father for not protecting you from your mother?
You know, it might be the other way around.
Meaning what?
It might be forgiving my mother for not protecting me from my father.
But have you forgiven your father for not protecting you from her?
I can't say that my father didn't protect me from my mother. There was nothing to protect me from.
If there was nothing to protect you from concerning your mother, why did you have to forgive her?
You made that statement.
What?
That I had to forgive my mother.
You said you
That's
forgave her,
That's an assumption.
Right?
You know what? This is sort of like in court when you say you assume facts, not in evidence.
But you did say you forgave your mother. You went and forgave her, right?
Because no one's perfect. Everyone makes mistakes. Every parent makes mistakes. And every child resents their parent because of the perceived... when they realize that their parent isn't perfect. We all want our parents to be perfect.
Right.
And to be honest, there was a TED talk that I saw one time and basically said that your mother is to you God when you're born because they are your universe. When a baby, the only person they really, really... are bonded with in the beginning is their mom. And so that's their whole world up until a certain point in time.
And so why didn't you forgive your father for not protecting you? Because he loved you. It's just that he did not know how to handle the hell in her because you end up marrying a woman that's just like your mama, and the woman end up marrying a man that's just like her father, weak, right? And you what? End up attracted to what you hate. So why haven't you forgiven your father for not protecting you from your mother? Because fathers love their children. When they leave the mother and not the children. But the mother made the children because she's evil. She made the children think the father left them. She doesn't say, you know what, your father loves you. It's just that he can handle me. I'm just like his mama.
My father never left me.
He stayed there?
Yes.
And why haven't you forgiven him for not protecting you from her if he were there?
There's nothing for me to forgive him for. I've forgiven my father for anything that he's ever done.
I can't hear you.
I've forgiven my father for anything he's ever done, but, you know, everybody makes mistakes.
Right, that's right.
Nobody's perfect.
And that's why we must forgive.
Mm-hmm.
Why isn't that message loud and clear in black people? Because black people are not suffering due to an outside event or anything. They are angry and unhappy and suicidal and depressed and all that because they resent their mothers, and they need to forgive their mother for recreating them in their image, her in the mother's image, and return to their fathers. Instead of telling the blacks, and I don't know if you're doing that or not, but most blacks do, instead of telling the blacks it's the white man or it's racism or that, why don't they tell them to forgive their mothers for turning them against their father? Because all blacks are angry at the mothers. Why isn't that the loudest message?
I actually don't agree with that statement.
What statement?
That all blacks are angry with their mothers, or that the father was weak, or that the mother told the father to hate.
Well, why do they act like their mothers? They're easy to get angry. They snap really fast. They're insecure. They're emotional.
If they're not like
their mother, why do they act like their mothers?
I can't speak to that because that's not my experience.
I'm sorry?
I cannot speak to that because it isn't my experience.
But you said you had to forgive your mother, too.
I think that, like I said, everyone makes mistakes, and you mentioned that about forgiving my mother, but I'm not like blaming her for anything.
Right,
you know?
I mean,
she's probably the reason I became a lawyer, my mom.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Why? Why?
That is not love.
And now a word from our sponsor.
Jetson! Jetson!
What in the world going on out here?
All these people are here for the merch, but we're sold out!
They're here for the merch?
Yeah!
That's amazing! It's amazing. The merch is amazing.
It's amazing! It's amazing! It's amazing!
The merch is amazing!
Are you married?
I am not.
You never been married?
I have never been married.
Really? You want to get married?
I don't know.
You want children?
I have a child.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yes.
but why isn't the message of forgiving your mother primary in the black community rather than blaming some outer source, racism and all the ism things? Why isn't the message forgive your black mama for screwing you up?
Dang, I really don't agree with that.
That they should forgive their mothers?
No, I don't believe that the black mother screwed them up.
Well, if the mother didn't do it, who did it?
I think society did it through racism.
No, society wasn't there.
You don't agree with me, but racism is there's socioeconomic and criminal justice. And what I see is a lot of injustices happening across the board. We would not have this much litigation if it wasn't for that racial disparities. There's employment litigation. There's litigation across the board, and a lot of it has to do with economic discrimination.
But black people treat each other worse than any white man has ever, could ever, is going to ever, ain't going to ever, never, never treat them. Why are black people so cruel to one another if it's injustice out there?
Well, I'm not sure that they are, but the issue is
they're killing each other, they're robbing each other, they're raping.
And white people are doing that too. People in every persuasion are doing that.
No, no, no. Why are the blacks treating each other? If they claim they want justice, right,
mm-hmm.
from the white man, why don't they start by treating themselves and others in their own race better? Be that example of what they want.
Okay. So, in my experience growing up in Los Angeles, let's talk about the gangs. The gangs started, and my father was telling me about the history of the gangs because he grew up here too. The gangs were first started to defend the black community against outside gangs that were coming in from other communities to beat up black people. They morphed into something, and also the guys that started the gangs, they had nuclear families Tookie Williams and those guys, their parents were married. It wasn't a single parent, like they blamed the single parent. That happened later with all this incarceration. They've taken all the black men out of the community. And you were talking about the South. I pulled the policy map when I was taking a course at Harvard, and in the zip code of 90011, which is where I grew up, that's where I was born, I looked in 2018 to see what was the annual salary of a black male, 30 years old. It was $6,500 a year.
And yet they were better off then than they are today.
No, they weren't.
Because
the point is that
they weren't begging and blaming and asking for reparations and affirmative action back in those days.
That's what started the homelessness.
As they are today.
That's what started the huge blossoming of homelessness
for
black males.
We had no homelessness back then.
2018, we had homelessness.
No, not in Alabama.
We had it here in Los Angeles.
Right, because the blacks were up here begging.
They weren't begging. They had criminal felonies against them and couldn't get a job. They
couldn't
live in housing.
Because they were drug addicts.
They might have been drug addicts.
No, not might have been. They were drug addicts. And they were still in and carrying on.
We call it self-medicating because when you get to a point of hopelessness, what else can you do?
What?
Yes.
You can forgive and come back to peace.
Yes,
because
but if you can't get a job.
Because anyone that has anger is evil. Evil is of their father, the devil.
If you can't get a job, how are you going to come back to peace?
Good question. Create your own job.
Well, that's what we're trying to teach
Why
people
do the
to do.
Blacks think that white people are superior to them? I always hear them calling white people white supremacy or something like that. You heard them.
I don't think they...
Why
I think
do
that's
they
a
think that white people are superior to them, that they're constantly reminding white people that they are superior? You are superior to me. You're supremacy. Why do blacks believe that white people are superior to them?
I think the term white supremacy is more about how the person who's white is feeling as opposed to how the person who's
black
is feeling.
Well, white people don't feel that way. It's the blacks feel that way about white. You never hear white people say I'm superior to you. But you always hear the blacks saying you are superior to me. Why do the blacks always say that about the whites?
I don't think that's true.
No, it is true.
No.
I think
they use the term white supremacist, they're talking about white privilege. And it has nothing to do with them feeling that white people are superior.
Well, why do they say it all the time then?
I don't know that they do say
it all the time.
Because
if white people were superior to the black, they'll throw them out of this country.
Well, they've tried several times
to do
that. No,
if they were superior,
putting them
in
jail is akin to throwing them out of this country. Putting mass incarceration is a type of segregation and taking people out of the population that is akin to throwing them out of the country.
What is it like? So when you become, if you become judge, and when you become, let's say you are a criminal, you gonna let the blacks out of jail?
No, I'm not.
What the?
I will not.
You won't let them out?
No, what I will do is resentence them.
But you say the white man put them in there, why won't you let them out?
I would apply the sentencing rules. There's 20,000 people waiting to be resentenced based on the fact that they were given harsh sentences that we disagree
with. You gonna let them out?
I'll resentence them.
See, I don't like that. Let them do their time that they already been sentenced, and they want to see if that helped them. And if they get out, they won't go back.
No, they're not ever getting out. These people are getting 20 to 5 to life. They're getting 40 years for crimes. Crimes where no one was hurt, killed, injured, raped, murdered.
But they still have to suffer the consequences.
Why should they be 40 years to life?
They committed a crime.
Maybe they didn't.
They can't decide how long you're going to lock me up.
Yes, they can.
So they can commit the crime. And then they can say how long you're going to lock me up.
We have sentencing guidelines.
Are you for defunding the police?
No. The issue of defunding the police was misunderstood.
Meaning what?
It meant to give money to people like, for instance, if you called and somebody had a mental health issue, right? They would call the police and they might respond in an inappropriate manner because they're not used to dealing with people that have a psychosis. We were supposed to put that money into what they call PET teams. But if you call 911 now and you say that my son or daughter is having an episode and I can't control them, I need you guys to come and get them and take them to a mental health facility. Your child might end up dead because the LAPD is going to respond. They're going to respond with force. That's the only way they know how.
But would the LAPD have to do that if the black didn't threaten them and curse them out?
No, this isn't where they're being threatened.
And they have guns and they don't follow the orders.
This is not where they're being threatened.
Would the police have to be as concerned about his life if the black didn't act out like that?
I think those are misnomer, and I think that makes people...
No, I've seen it. It's not a misnomer.
I've seen people get their children
but
get
I'm asking
killed
you, if the black didn't act out, would the cop have to worry about his life? Because he don't know if you have a gun on you, a knife, or what you're going to do. If the blacks just act like they have some sense, mm-hmm. would the cop have to take action like that?
I disagree with that.
That was a question.
Okay. So the rule now is that the cop has to have a good cause to shoot someone. They can't just shoot them because they were subjectively, I'm scared.
But I'm asking, if the black were to just follow the order of the cops,
who says
would
they
the
didn't?
Cops have to...
I've seen a lot of times where people have followed the orders and they still got shot. And
they did something to bring it on. The cops didn't just say, oh, this person followed the order. Let me shoot him.
Look at what happened in the George Floyd case. You saw that from beginning to end.
Where is George now?
He's dead.
I rest my case.
Well, what did he do to deserve to be dead?
According to all the reports, he was a drug addict. He wasn't following instructions. He'd been in jail before.
But did you watch it?
If the cops had followed the orders of the cop, according to all the reports,
no, that's
George
not true.
Might would be alive today.
That's not true. They showed the whole video.
No, they didn't.
That guy was not supposed to even be there.
They chopped it up.
No.
But I want to go back because of time. Mm-hmm. You claim that black women judges in Los Angeles County Court suffers from discrimination. Give me an example of why you believe that.
I didn't say they suffer from discrimination. What I was saying, there's not enough of them based on the population. I didn't say they suffer from discrimination. I didn't use that terminology.
What did you say?
What I said was there's about 400 judges in L.A. County, and of those judges, about 8% are black, and of those, less than half of those are female. I didn't say anything about discrimination.
But... are women strong?
Oh, yeah.
So if women are strong, why are they always complaining like the blacks?
Black women are strong.
If they're strong,
people
why are they always
like
complaining?
People don't like our voice. That's what the problem. They don't like a strong black woman.
Well, they always complaining. I'm a strong black woman.
How's
don't
that
treat
complaining?
Me that way. I'm a strong. You don't talk to a black woman. I'm a queen.
It's not complaining.
If they're strong, why do they have to remind us of it?
Because maybe we're not being treated the way we should.
How you should be treated?
As queens.
Queen?
Yes.
Of the devil?
No, you are that devil stuff.
What kind of queen? They're not queens of God.
Well, like
why do you
want to
be
Buddhist?
Treated like a queen? That doesn't make sense.
That's
black
a ruler.
Women are not queens. All that hell in them.
No.
Oh, yeah.
So you don't like black women?
I love black women. That's why I'm trying to help them.
Well, why? You think it's helpful to say that they're angry and that they're evil?
Yeah. So that they'll realize it. And I counsel with black women all the time mm-hmm. from around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we have meetings here for women only, for men only and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And these black women will realize, you know what? I am full of hell. I'm angry. I hate my kid's father. I did turn my children away from their father because of my anger. I hate my mother. My mother imposed her will on me, and I did the same thing to my children. Now, most people are not going to admit that, but there are black women who are starting to admit that. And when they admit it, they forgive their mothers, and they forgive their fathers, and their life changed. The anger is taken away from them,
mm-hmm.
and they realize that it would... Another day. It would never... It was never racism, but it was the anger that came from their mothers, and it goes on from generation mm-hmm. to generation. But the black leadership and the liberal whites, they lie to the blacks and tell them it's slavery, it's this and that, because they need to use the blacks to be destructive. Isn't that true?
I think they do lie to black people
yeah.
and they so that they can use them to destroy their own selves. And that's the reason why I set up Dixon Recovery Institute, to help people with substance abuse problems. But what I found when I started that was I believe in the power of restorative justice. I had proposed a fathering court, just like for the very reason that you were talking about. Fathers need to be more involved. And
yeah.
even if they have been incarcerated, if they come back, they need to understand what it is to be a father, and then to start to become, you know, involved in their children's lives. I think it's very important that both parents be involved.
They need the father. The women need the father to help them, lead them how to raise the children. And the father needs to stand between the mother and the children so the mother doesn't pass her anger onto the children. So it's really needed. All people, mm-hmm. all human beings. The blacks are suffering because they're yearning for the Father, not because of they need a better job or they need a white man to do this or they need that. They need to return to the Father by overcoming the anger for giving their mothers. I know so many cases where the black mothers are jealous of the man's wife, his woman. She's always in the middle of that. She ought to be
Wait
the wife.
Minute. The black mother is
jealous of her son's wife.
Oh, okay.
Or his girlfriend. Mm-hmm. You gonna put her before me? I'm like, what the?
Well, you know,
she want to be his wife.
being the mother of a son who a black man. The thing is, and my mother experiences too. They always say that a daughter you'll have all your life, but a son you have until he takes a wife. And that's in
jealous
everybody.
Of that.
But that's in all communities.
But it's
because
evil.
It's not
You're
evil.
Right. It is
it's
all women community. Are like
even,
that.
Even in the white community, Hispanic, whatever, the once the man gets married, then he ends up gravitating towards the woman's family. Because, like I said, the woman is going to gravitate towards her family and her mother. And so he's
well,
going to
he
go
he should
that
take
way.
His wife away from her family and his family. Because if not, the mother will destroy the marriage. On her side, too. And quiet as it kept.
No, I think we need community. So I don't think that either party should be taken
if
away.
If not, the mother going to destroy it because she's jealous.
I don't agree.
Why not?
I think that's an extreme position that you're taking.
It's true. And all the way things are going to get better.
You know what? I think it's misogynistic. I do not agree with it. I really don't.
What?
That women are evil, that women are going to turn people.
They do it every day.
No.
Yes.
Well, not me, so I don't understand.
You don't have
that.
Any children?
I have a son.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
And how old is he?
He's 29.
Let him go.
He's gone. He's out.
Well, don't have him calling you every day.
No, he doesn't call me.
And don't you be calling him every day.
I don't.
Hi, baby. This is Mama.
I don't.
And don't call him baby.
I don't call him baby.
Nice.
He's
a grown man.
He's 6'5". He's huge. I don't call him baby.
When you call him baby, he feels like a baby.
No, I don't call him baby.
Nice. No. Well, you need to make sure you teach that in your courtroom.
I do. I will.
Nice. One other question about this woman thing. Do you agree with me that the God above is the man's God and the God below is the woman's God?
No, I don't. I definitely don't.
Well, how did the woman become so evil?
Through Eve,
she took on the devil's nature and the daughters of Eve, this thing been passed down. How did she become so evil if it wasn't that way?
Well, so I don't know if you're even describing Judeo-Christian ethic the way, I mean, I don't even think that is a correct
description
of it.
It's all about re-Genesis.
But I'm a Buddhist.
It's in Genesis.
And I don't believe that.
What?
I don't believe that whole evil and I don't believe any of that that you just said.
Do you believe evil exists?
Do I believe evil exists? I think there are negative forces in the universe. I think there are things that are negative, but I think that they're juxtaposed by the positive, and I think there's... You know, you have to try to get this balance between them.
So you don't believe evil exists?
I believe in the yin and the yang. Remember, there's a little speck of...
Are those Chinese people?
It's not just Chinese. But
a yin and a yang?
It is, yes.
That's the Chinese people?
It's not just Chinese people.
Other names are yin, yang, ho, mo.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. I'm not trying to alienate all the other different populations.
But you say yin and yang. I know their names are like that.
But I think
I met a yi the other day when I went to a restaurant.
Oh, gosh. No, it doesn't have to do with that. It has to do with the concept that everything is not linear. That there is a little bit, it's not a cut and dried line. I mean, even in what you would consider evil, there's a speck of good. And whatever you would consider, positive, there's a little speck of bad.
So you don't believe that evil exists?
Not in that biblical sense, no.
But do you believe it exists, period? Even though it might not be in that biblical
Well, what I said was like negative forces in the universe. There's negative things that happen.
Do you believe
yes.
you have evil in you?
I believe that all of the things in the environment are contained in in everyone.
So yes. Do you believe you have evil spirits in you?
I don't believe I'd have any evil spirits.
I'm sorry?
I don't believe I have any evil spirits in
me. Then what makes you think the way you think at times when you have those bad thoughts and when you get lonely thoughts or depressed thoughts or angry thoughts? Is that you making yourself feel that way, or is that an evil spirit in your mind making you feel that way?
I don't think it's an evil spirit. I think things ebb and flow.
Do you make yourself think that way?
Yeah, I think we do.
You make yourself think evil thoughts to make yourself depressed.
No, but I think people do.
You make yourself have evil thoughts to make yourself lonely.
No.
You make yourself have evil thoughts to make yourself
angry.
Why
is it that an evil thought makes you lonely or depressed?
Is it good to be lonely?
Sometimes it's good to give your own counsel.
Is it good to be lonely?
So being alone and lonely is two different things.
Just because
sometimes
I'm alone
you
want to
be by yourself, but that doesn't mean you're lonely.
Just because I'm alone doesn't mean I'm lonely. What makes you think that if it's you, if you don't believe evil exists, what makes you afraid at times? Do you make yourself afraid with those thoughts?
I'm not afraid of things that don't exist.
But you have fear in you, though. And you do experience fear at times. What causes that if it's not the thoughts?
Things that are happening. Like if somebody pulls a gun out,
I'm
going to be afraid.
No, I'm not talking about practical fear. The fear that in you in the morning when you wake up.
Oh, I don't have that.
You do?
No, I don't.
What makes you have negative thoughts at times?
I think sometimes people worry.
But what makes you worry?
I think there's a conditioning that people have being in this society. I once read that there's more ways to say I've had a bad day in the English language than in any other language on the planet.
Right. The best way to say I had an evil day.
I think you say that a lot.
Everyone should.
I don't think so.
Do you create your own thoughts?
That's a good one. You know, Buddhism and meditation is all about watching the mind and watching the thoughts and then working on kind of recreating those thoughts or channeling those thoughts in the way that you want them to be, focusing them the way that you want them.
And do you create your own thoughts?
Yeah, I guess you do.
And how do you create an evil thought?
So in Buddhism, we would say that we create, but sometimes we subconsciously create. In other words, we don't intentionally. So what you do is you intentionally, that's what the focus of chanting and meditation is to intentionally think and focus on what you want to focus on as opposed to having random thoughts and random things, coming through.
Is it possible that those thoughts are coming from your evil imagination, and that's why God said we have to overcome the imagination because the imagination is wicked?
I don't think God said that.
Yeah, he said bring every thought into captivity and that those thoughts are not mine and they're not yours.
I think that might be a mistranslation.
My voice is a voiceless voice. Satan talked to you, he made you feel good, then he made you feel bad. Then he made you feel good, then he made you feel bad. And that's why you want to jump off a bridge somewhere, because you've been controlled by evil, but you think it's you. You're not your thoughts. All thoughts are all lies all the time about anything except for practical thoughts. You want to run for L.A. court supervisor, right?
Judge.
That's a practical thought. But all those other thoughts you're having are evil.
What other thoughts?
That make you feel a certain way, think a certain way, believe lies, and make you up and down emotionally and stuff like that. But if you overcome them, you can be free from them because they're evil spirits in your body and emotions.
I feel like I've overcome.
Not all of them, you still get angry.
I don't.
You're trying to
make me angry, but I'm not.
You can't make you angry if it's not in you.
You're trying to poke me and make me angry, but I'm not.
Why do you say that?
Because you keep saying the same thing over and over again.
Like what, for example?
This thing about these evil thoughts and about women having evil thoughts.
Women are evil.
I know, you keep saying that.
Why are they so violent?
I don't know that that's true.
Ask any man. They smack men. They cuss you out. They take you to court, take your children, and make the children suffer because they hate the man. They always whining, oh, the queen, you got to talk to me a certain way. Why are they so violent? And then more women file for divorce nowadays than men. Why are women so violent? And why do people want to ignore that?
I could say the other way around.
I've
been in the domestic violence court, and for the most part, it's male violence against women and not the other way around.
But you believe the woman is lying. Women
no,
don't make up lies just like that.
No, she's not.
And she'll cry, oh, he beat me. And she'll be lying.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Women are more violent than men.
No,
yeah.
I don't agree.
Because of the hell in her.
I don't agree with that.
Okay. Amazing. Do you love white people?
I love all people.
Do you love white people?
I love all people.
Do you love white people?
I can't say that I just blanketly love somebody if I don't know them.
Do you love white people?
I'm not going to keep on going through this. I answered the question.
Oh, you answered the question?
Yeah. I love all people.
How about, I asked about white.
I mean, everybody, there's some people that are lovable and some people that are unlovable in every persuasion.
But Buddha teaches you to love all people.
I do.
It doesn't tell you to love some people or some people.
You're right.
It didn't even tell you to love your enemy. So do you love white people?
Sure. I mean, how could I not love white people?
You better take a drink of water after
that.
Nah. Sure.
Now you gotta basically spit out my water.
That's a hard one to swallow, huh?
Oh, man.
Amazing. What the? So, listen, I got to put you on the hot seat.
You haven't already been putting me on the hot seat?
No.
Oh, okay.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So, here's what I want you to do what you want. But I want you to encourage the blacks to forgive their mothers.
Of course.
Return to their father. Forgive their father for not protecting you from the mother. Because the father would... Because he had not forgiven his mother, he was attracted to what he hates. And all men hate their mother, so every woman they get involved with is the spirit of the mother. But if they forgive their mother, mother, I'm sorry for resenting you. I realize you couldn't help yourself. And I'm sorry for resenting you. And God will forgive them. But don't ask anyone, ever ask a person to forgive you. You forgive them. Because women do not forgive. You notice that?
I don't agree with that.
Women do not forgive. Your mama ain't going to forgive. Your wife, your girlfriend, women do not forgive. They'll blame everybody, they'll accuse, but they will not forgive. Have you noticed that?
There's a Buddhist goddess called Kuan Yin, the goddess of compassion, and all she does is forgive.
I bet she does.
That's all she does. She forgives. She hears
the
cries of the world, and she has mercy on them.
Let me talk to her.
You can. Kuan Yin, the goddess of compassion.
Where is she?
She has mercy for all people in the world.
But women ain't got mercy for nobody.
Oh,
but
my goodness.
Where is she?
You really had some bad experiences.
No. Where is she?
You've had some bad experiences with women, haven't you?
Where is she?
Kuan Yin is a goddess.
But where does she live? I want to talk to her.
It is a concept, just like your concept
of evil.
Oh, it's a concept? And, yes.
Oh, it's not even real?
The concept of evil isn't real.
Really?
Really.
Amazing.
Can't we talk about the judgeship a little bit?
Absolutely. We're going to close out with that.
Okay.
I asked you, why should I vote for a woman knowing that women were not created to lead? Why would I? I'm glad you brought that up. Knowing that women were created to follow and not to lead. God in Christ, Christ over man, man over woman, and woman over children. Knowing that women were created to follow, why would I vote for her and put her in leadership role when she's not even supposed to be the head of the family? Why would I vote for a judge, female judge, knowing she wasn't created to lead?
Well, first of all, I think the premise is flawed. I think women are created to lead.
But that's not difficult. You think it, it'll make it true.
It is true.
Why?
It's true for me. You have your own truth and I have my truth.
I don't have a truth. But why? Why should I, knowing
that
women...
Because women have compassion and women will be more impartial. They'll be fair. They'll be compassionate.
But that's the problem. They're going to vote in. They're going to be supporting drag queens, drag genders, and all kinds of stuff.
Actually, the law says that you have to treat people equally, and you can't make a distinction between people, whatever gender they want to be.
Are you okay with them cutting off
what they want to be called? Like,
are you okay with them cutting off kids' body parts?
No, I don't agree with that. What I do agree with is if they become an adult and they still feel the same way,
right,
then they can do that on their own.
That's
but
right.
I, as a mother, I would not support another person making that decision, because I don't think that they're... I had a personal experience with this with a friend of mine's daughter who wanted to be transgender, and the father wanted to support that and give her the surgery and everything at the age of 13.
He a beta.
And
was he a beta male?
I don't know, but when the child became 18, the child changed their mind, and had they gone through with that surgery, it would have been a mistake.
Yeah.
Because it's irreversible.
Because I don't think people realize that the human nature is evil, and that there's no love in it.
I do not agree with that.
That human nature is evil?
No, I don't.
Then why do human beings treat each other this way?
I think that's due to ignorance.
No, that's evil.
When you know better, you do better. When
no, we overcome evil.
When I had my substance abuse clinic, a lot of times people were in this state of unconsciousness where they were making a lot of mistakes, and I used to tell them, look, the bad news is the decisions you made up until this point are what got you here. But the good news is the decisions you make from this point forward are going to take you out. Because once you know better, you can do better. And what we do is educate to elevate.
Right.
So people, once they did, and a lot of people that I worked with recovered, they ended up...
But they didn't make that decision to do drugs. They didn't make that decision to rob the bank. They didn't make that decision about... We don't make decisions. We're influenced by evil or we're influenced by good. Once you overcome evil, you're now influenced by good. Human beings has never, cannot, will not make one decision. We don't make decisions.
Well, I don't think that's true.
Yeah,
I think that was the whole thing about free will.
No such thing.
But I think the issue is whether you make these decisions consciously with an intention to do good or evil. You have to actually consciously make that decision.
I know, but if you're conscious, you don't make decisions. They're made on your behalf. If you're unconscious when... You think you're making a decision. Those decisions are made on your behalf, too, by evil. But you think if you're making those decisions, that's why they never work out.
That good and evil thing, that's just...
Pray on it.
I can't. I
Buddha on
pray.
It.
Don't pray.
Buddha on it. All right? So I got to put you on the hot seat.
Okay.
I need you to ask these questions as quickly as possible.
Okay.
The hot seat.
What's a woman?
What is a woman?
What is a woman?
Okay. It's really a concept, actually. There's a genetic concept to it, but there's also some other concepts like compassion and love and nurturing. Women have children. Women raise children.
Amazing. Amazing. Is America the best country on this side of heaven?
Say that
again? America the best country on this side of heaven?
I mean, I like America, but I've traveled quite a bit, and I like other places as well.
No, the question is America the best country on this side of heaven?
Ah, that's a good question. I don't know heaven.
What?
I don't know about heaven. I haven't been to it.
No, is America the best country on this side of heaven?
This side of heaven. I think with all its flaws, it's you know, of course I'm patriotic. I think America's the best country, but there are other countries that have things to offer.
Is America the best country on this side of heaven?
I don't agree with the heaven concept, so I can't
say. On this side of heaven, not heaven itself. Heaven is better. But is America the best country on this side of heaven?
I don't know any different, so I guess I would say yes.
I'm sorry?
I don't know what heaven is like.
I ask you about heaven. Is America the best country on this side of heaven?
Well, how would I know if I didn't know if I hadn't gone to heaven?
Do we need more white babies?
No.
I'm sorry?
No, we need more black babies. We have enough of them in the population.
Was it a mistake to give women the right to vote?
Not at all.
Is it wrong for a black man to love the Confederate flag?
I would have to say yes.
You say yes?
I would say yes, it's wrong because it does what it stands for.
Do you love the Great White Hope?
I don't even know what the Great White Hope is.
Is that a what? Is a he?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, back in the day, they said, what was it, that boxer was
right.
The Great White
Everybody
Hope?
Everybody know about that guy.
Yeah.
But do you love the Great White Hope of today?
No.
You know who he is?
I don't even know what it is.
Donald Trump.
Oh.
Do you love the Great White Hope?
You know, as a judge, I cannot allow you to get into my, you know, partisanship, whether I'm Democratic or Republican.
Don't be trying to lock him up.
try to lock him up.
If you become judge.
Well, you know, I think black women are the bait of his existence because it appears that black women are the ones trying to lock him up.
Because they're so evil.
No, they're not evil.
They ain't good.
They're trying to get him to
There's a bear shit in the woods.
Oh, my God. I would suppose so.
Is the climate change real?
I do believe it's real.
Should we give blacks reparations?
I believe they should have reparations.
I'm sorry?
I believe we should.
You believe we should give the blacks reparations?
I do believe so.
When will they start begging?
I don't think they're begging. Well, I think they're starting way behind the eight ball right now.
But they haven't even earned it.
I believe they have earned it. They built this country from the ground up.
They were paid.
They weren't paid. That's the whole point of slavery.
They
no
had
payment.
Homes. They had a place to live, food, shelter.
They took it away.
And they had sex with the white people.
That's because the white people wanted to.
I rest my case. I asked that. I asked about the chicken. Does the chicken have lips?
Oh, my God. What does it have to do with the price of rice in China?
Thank you. Does the chicken have lips?
I think they do.
True or false? If you can haw, you can hear.
I don't know what that means.
True or false, sending your kids to a public school is child abuse.
You know what? I think that's true, actually.
What is a man?
I think, as I said with the woman, it's a construct. I mean, it's a biological designation, but there's also some other connotations. I mean, I know you would want to say he's the breadwinner, he's the leader, he's the husband.
How you know that what I said?
Because you've said it throughout this whole conversation.
What the?
Yeah.
So what is a man?
A man is, well, he has certain anatomy that makes him a man. And he's strong, and he's courageous, and faithful, hopefully.
Do you support abortion?
That's a good one. Remember, I can't let you know how I would rule if I were a judge.
Amazing.
Right. So I can't allow you to, I can't indicate how I feel about certain things.
Did you have fun?
I had fun.
Amazing. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
So here's what I want you to do. Tell the folks you're running for your L.A. Superior Court judge what they can do to help you, how to get your information, what to do.
Okay.
And why you're running. Mm-hmm.
So my name is Rhonda Dixon. I'm running for a Los Angeles Superior Court judge, seat number 39. Vote for me. I'm going to be fair, compassionate, and just. I want to level the playing field and balance things out. There is a lot of injustices that are happening, and the fact that we have mostly prosecutors as judges when we should have people from all walks of life. We should have criminal defense lawyers as well as civil litigators, different lived experience. People don't realize that the judges are going to be put on whatever bench they're needed. So when there's all prosecutors and they're in the family law court, they're in the landlord-tenant court, they're in the civil court, they don't have any experience in those courts. That's why we have a lot of appeals. So I am a judge. I would be a judge that has that breadth of experience where I could be put in any bench and I would know the law and I would have a good idea of what's going on. Plus, who likes to go to court? You want a judge that you can relate to, a judge that's been on your side of the bench as well as on the other side of the bench. Somebody that is not going to be intimidating, going to basically tell you off, be sarcastic, be rude and disrespectful, and threaten to have you put in jail just because you want to speak. No, that's not why we have judges. We have judges to help us resolve our conflicts peacefully. We have judges to respect us. We pay the judges' salaries, and judges should be respectful and help us to resolve our conflicts peacefully.
So let me just ask real fast. So you're going to be on the ballot and we're going to have to vote or not when we want?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I have four people that are in my seat. The other three people are Jacob Lee, George Turner, and Steve Napolitano.
Oh, okay.
And I am the only one that is a female and as well being more balanced because I've had a breadth of life experience.
Amazing. Well, I wish you well with that. And how can the people get your website or whatever?
They can go to Rhonda Dixon for the number 4 judge 4dixon.com.
Amazing.
And Rhonda is spelled RONDADIXON, the number 4, then judge, JUDGE.com.
Amazing. Well, I wish you well with that.
Thank you.
And thank you all for tuning in. I absolutely appreciate it. Don't forget to support The Fallen State at thefallenstate.tv/donate and locals.com in the description there, right? Locals.com. Like, follow, ring the bell, check out the merch, subscribe, and all that good stuff. Thank you all for tuning in. I appreciate it. Thank you again, Roger.
Thank you for
I wish you well.
Me. Thank you.
Amazing.